One of the things that I looking out over the audience, I probably didn't need to put in my second slide, but I'm going to cover that anyway. Before I move on, I would like to recognize Joanna Hillman, who's sitting here in the front of the room, my colleague on the development, my partner in crime, if you will, and Neil Jacobs, who is my colleague at the CDC South Africa offices. So I always try and start my slide with the fact that South Africa is only a country within Africa. My family thinks that Africa is a country, and I'm constantly giving geographic lessons to them. So I always start all my talks with the fact that Africa is a continent and South Africa is a country. I want to talk a little bit about the background to the problem, because there really is a sincere issue that we were trying to address with this particular program. There's a huge deployment of new health information systems, including electronic medical records in South Africa. These deployments have been somewhat sporadic, but at the same time, the National Department of Health in South Africa has now decided that they are going to implement a three-tier system, the first tier being fully paper-based, the second tier being paper to electronic, and then the third tier is going to be a fully electronic medical records system. And they are very serious about this and have put together some fairly rigorous five-year plans. So we knew that we needed to ramp up for this. And one of the things that we proposed to do for the National Department of Health was to put together this series of coursework, which I'll be describing to you today. The information officers and the data managers are really the ones that are being mostly affected by this change, and we know that the success of these deployments depend upon these staff members. No matter how good your five-year strategic plan, they can always be derailed once they get out into the field if the staff really don't buy into it or really understand what's going on. Most of these health information officers and data managers do not have any formal training in informatics. And we went back through, there was a deployment of an EHR, and the staff that helped deploy that EMR went back and interviewed the staff, and the staff really indicated they wanted additional training to understand the implementation process. And again, as part of the change management, people need to know what that implementation process was and their role in sustaining the system. It was like, we have the system now, why are we here? So those were sort of the backgrounds that we built this course around. We were invited to come to the Eastern Cape Province of South Africa. And I just, again, because of the fact that I think the geography of this is a strong component of what this course, the pilot of this course and the configuration of the course really gave us was the Eastern Cape Province is on the Indian Ocean side of South Africa. It's the second largest province. But if you look at it, 63% live in rural areas. So the other part of the equation is 64% of the population earn less than $25 a week, right around $25 a week. We actually focused in the Kakadu district, which is on the western side of the Eastern Cape Province. Again, the population size is pretty small. There's 9 sub-districts, and the participants in this course came from 3 of the different health districts. Kambudu. I can never say that, so Jonna's here to help me. The Kunga and Makana sub-district. And again, as you can see, it's a very, very rural area. However, it has some of the highest incidence rate of HIV in South Africa. As you can see, in the Eastern Cape Province, there's in 2008, there was nearly 729,000 people living with HIV. There were 81,000 infections over the year, and there were about 44,000 deaths per year in 2008. So one of the things that I kind of came at this from a sort of a research perspective, because I know a lot of trainings are developed and they're sort of plopped down in all of these different countries, but not a whole lot of thought has been really taken into how do we move from competency to competence And one of the things that's been a sort of an overlying theme throughout this conference is the fact that we really need to start looking at what is the impact of our activities, what's the outcomes of our activities. And for me, in a training situation, it's competence. It's not competency. Competency is the skills and knowledge sets that you need to have to become competent. So competencies sort of reflect what is the potential through that continuum to your performance. And again, this has to be repeated over time. So this is sort of a graph that I like to use to kind of think about what is that continuum from competency to competence. The second thing we looked at was self-efficacy. And one of the things about self-efficacy is we tend to perform better if we believe in ourselves, if we have confidence in our abilities. And one of the things we wanted to look at, we walked in with two basic hypotheses. The first hypothesis was, first research question, basically, it wasn't really a hypothesis. Well, I'll switch it around. I'll turn it into a hypothesis. You can take informatics competencies that were developed in the United States and through the International Medical Informatics Association, call those out, create content that could be developed and presented to people in low to middle income countries, and they would gain knowledge, and it would be important to them. Then our second hypothesis was, can we create an environment that increases their confidence in that knowledge set? So those were the two sort of hypotheses that we ran under with this course. As I mentioned, the course content was developed from interviews with the health information specialist, and then we went from those interviews and we mapped that back to internationally recognized informatics competencies. And the three that we used were the informatics competencies for public health professionals. It was developed by Patrick O'Carroll, and the public health informatics competencies working group, of which I was a member, in August of 2002. There was also another competency effort that was supported by CDC in 2009, and those were competencies for public health informaticians. Then the third was the recommendations from the International Medical Informatics Association on Education, Biomedical, and Health Informatics, the first revision, which came out in 2010. So what we did is we took from the interviews generally what it is people said they thought they needed, mapped it back to these competencies to see if there was a pretty good match. And amazingly enough, there was. So from that, we developed the course content, and I'm sorry this doesn't come out very well, but it's a series of learning objectives that we then took the content and built underneath that, and from that we built the course. So what did the course look like? As you can see in this particular slide, there's two different colors. We started out with an 8-module course. The first iteration of the course was Health Information Systems Introduction, Guiding Policies and Strategies, HIS Standards, Data Management Concepts, Business Process Analysis, HIS Management Principles, Resource Planning, Knowledge Management, and Professional Development. Once we finished the first pilot and got feedback from the participants in the course, as well as discussions amongst myself and Joanna, the things that seemed to work and didn't work very well, we added 3 additional modules, security, privacy, and confidentiality, which originally had been as part of the guiding policies and strategies, but the people that took the course indicated to us they really wanted to know more about that, more specifics. So we pulled the basics out of that module and then built it up a little bit more. Additionally, standard operating procedures. Originally, we had that as part of the Health Information System Standards module, but again, they said that they really wanted more information about that, so to keep it in a manageable way, we pulled that out into its own module. Additionally, for the data quality use and visualization, that had originally been as part of the data management concepts module, and one of the things that is sort of my platform that I stand on is I think people don't really understand data use very well. So we decided to pull that out into a separate module on data quality use and visualization. So how was the course structured? We did a pre and post assessment for each module. There are 10 multiple choice questions before they got the content and 10 questions after. But being a test writer, I was actually used to write test questions for the USMLE, for anybody that happens to be a physician here has gone through that process. And they're pretty rigorous in their training of teaching us how to write questions. So one of the things that I did was we used the same multiple choice questions. We just moved them around and moved the stems around. So if something was the answer was question A, it was now suddenly D. And the first question became the middle question. So that one of the things I wanted to test was they didn't memorize the test, because sometimes that happens with a pre-post. Then we had, after we did the pre, we had a lecture between 60 and 90 minutes, and that consisted of PowerPoint slides and handouts. And we also tried to make it as interactive as possible. However, after it, to build sort of that competence, we had an interactive learning exercise that lasted anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour and a half. And in that, we had various discussion questions, activity templates, and then after they had had some time, we had them report back as a group. Then at the conclusion of the course, we had the first time around, it was a 78-question multiple choice test that they had to pass with a 75%. And then the second time around, it was actually a 100-question test in the second pilot. We also distributed a Likert scale-based assessment of perceived knowledge level, perceived confidence level, and perceived knowledge importance, and I'll show you what those look like. First of all, I guess I'll show you in a minute. I want to talk a little bit about the answer to our first research question. Can you build knowledge based upon competencies from essentially the U.S. and the International Medical Informatics Association? One of the things that we saw was there was an average increase in knowledge from the pre to the post was about 27.3%. If you look at the first part of this table, you'll notice that we had an N of 30. What we did is we put together both our first and second pilot pretest course. We had 30 participants total. Their pretest scores ranged about 68%, or averaged about 68%. The post-test scores of those same 30 individuals was 95.3%. So as you can see, there was a large gain in knowledge. And the post-test was that 75 to 100 question exam. Then one of the things that we wanted to test was, okay, did they just learn it, spew it back out on the exam, and go off and flush it out? Well, we sent out the post-test for the first pilot group. Unfortunately, we do not have the data from the second pilot group with us. But from the first pilot group, we got out of the original 12, wasn't it?
11.
The original 11, we got 6 returns. So we got better than 50% return rate, which I was really excited about. And their post-test score was an 88.2%. So there really wasn't that big a drop in knowledge in 2 months. Then for that same group, 8 months later, we sent it out. And this time we got 9 people to respond of the 11. And the average score was 86.4%. So clearly they retained the knowledge, because 86.4 and 88.2 is much higher than 68.0. And another way of looking at this is, you notice there was a big jump between the pretest and post-test, but still just a small decrease between 2 and 8 months. So then we wanted to explore the competency match. And what we did is we put together this Likert scale. And as you notice, at the very bottom, one of the questions we asked them was, For me, knowing about health information systems is not important, little important, somewhat important, important, very important. And consistently, they rated the content to be important or very important. So the content that we presented to them seemed to hit what they were thinking of. Secondly, we wanted to look at self-efficacy or their confidence level in being able to apply this knowledge. And we asked them on a Likert scale whether or not they were not confident, a little confident, somewhat, or confident, very confident. And basically, the average rating increased from not confident to confident. Very confident, we didn't get many of those. So one of the things that we found in this little study is that training does increase awareness. Most of our learning objectives were to that understanding and awareness level. That we could map content from international competencies as meaningful, even in low and middle income countries. And the learning exercise reinforced and helped build the skills, and their confidence in their own knowledge improved. So what are we going to do next with this? Well, we do have an additional pilot in the Northern Cape province of South Africa in November 2011. We've got some interest from some other African countries. Nigeria, Namibia, and Ghana have all contacted me and asked about perhaps following up. And actually, my co-presenter here is one of the people I've been speaking to about this. We do want to conduct a 12-month follow-up with the first pilot group. We've got the 2, we've got the 8, but we do not have the 12. We also want to include additional Likert scales on more dimensions of self-efficacy. I think that this is an area of training that we've really not explored well, and I think that if we really are going to make training meaningful, we have to look at that confidence and self-efficacy, because it's going to be very hard to go back and do measures of impact later on. We also want to continue exploring this continuum. I think, again, it's an interesting research area, and one of those areas that is there's very little literature on. Well, I thank you, and I'll turn it over to the next presenter.
Okay. Thank you.